Doing well.
You're wonderful.
That's good news. Ain't that good news?
Mm-hmm.
So where is she? At Jefferson?
She was at, well, that's what they call it now, old medical center. She was in the emergency room.
Yeah, it'll never be all these other names they make up. It's still the medical center to me.
Well, I heard somebody ring in. Good evening. What's the call?
Matt Freeman.
Hey, Sister Matt Freeman. How are you?
I'm doing good. Deacon Clarence, how you doing? How everybody online doing?
Good evening, Sister Maddie. Did you get your package, Sister Maddie?
Yes, ma'am. I'm just going to tell you I got it. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
I heard two callers ring in. Good evening. Welcome to the call.
Good evening. It's JJ.
Hey,
JJ.
How you doing?
Good evening, Sister JJ.
I'm good. I'm good.
See what the Lord has done.
What he has done.
Praise God, praise God, praise God.
Amen.
I'm glad you could.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yes, yes.
Thank you.
Woo.
Yes.
Amen.
And thanks for all the prayers that went out. Thank you for all the prayers that went out.
Good evening. Welcome to the call.
Good evening. Namaste. How's everyone percolating this evening?
Hey, brother.
Good evening, young man.
Good evening, everyone. I hope everybody's having a great day so far.
Well, praise God.
Yes.
Could have been the other way.
Amen. I heard someone else ring in. Welcome, caller.
Good evening.
Evening.
Good evening, Sister Genesis.
How
you doing?
I'm all right, Connor. Good evening, Sister Deborah.
Good evening. Welcome.
Yes.
Amen.
All are welcome.
Amen. Glad to be here.
Amen.
One more time. Amen.
As your mama would say, it could have been the other way.
That's it.
Sister Lucas, try to be on your best behavior tonight. I know, I don't know if Brother Pastor Kuiper's on the line, but you know, when you two get together, y'all just don't know how to act.
I will. I'm listening. I'm listening tonight. I need some wisdom.
But Brother Everett, you better pray.
All depends on how the Holy Spirit leads me.
All right, then.
I ain't been a fool with the Holy Spirit. I want to rub off on me, so I am not going to try to contain him in a box at all.
Ooh, you are a smart man. You're a smart young man.
That's right. No need.
I learned from the best.
Beyond the Wall, Gates of Prayer, Enlightenment Ministry, out of the box ministry, supported by Medical Resource Center. We welcome you to the call. It is today, July 9th, 2024. We welcome you to the three P's and the E, praise, prayer, preaching, and enlightenment. So, equipment. So, we move on. We're going to begin with prayer by Deacon Everett Henderson, followed by a song, and then we will have our walk in the wood. We are ready.
Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Our Heavenly Father, God, we come before you this evening to glorify you and to praise you. We praise you, God, because you are omnipresent. God, no matter where we are within our mindset, no matter where we are physically, no matter where we are within our health, Lord, whether it's a challenging health situation or challenging family situation or just having to deal with life itself, God, we can rest because you are omnipresent. God, we look to you and glorify you, for you are sovereign. God, no matter what is going on in this world, we have those that we have elected, Lord, that has failed us. God, we can't trust anybody but you, but we know regardless of what political party may have control of the House or the Senate, you have ultimate control of this world and universe. And nothing will go undone without you permitting. So, Lord, here we are resting in you this evening. Just as we've rested with you all day, God, you've kept us. You've protected us.
Mm-hmm.
You've kept our minds, God, and we're grateful. God, you didn't let any hurt, harm, or danger come to us, and we want to thank you. But, God, we can't thank you enough. We won't ever be able to thank you enough for what you did. When you allowed your only begotten Son, Jesus, to die for all of our sins.
Yes.
And God, we are forever grateful. God, we come to you seeking your forgiveness for our sins.
Yes.
And we ask, God, will you create in us a clean heart? Lord, please renew in us your Holy Spirit. God, thank you for this hour of sharing. Thank you for our leaders that you have placed on this line. Thank you for our pastors and our ministers that bring forth your word with simplicity and understanding, for you have mandated that in all I get, and we are to get understanding. So, Lord, we are sitting at this table seeking understanding, seeking your wisdom, seeking your guidance, so that when we disconnect, God, we need to be equipped to know how to handle the challenges of this life. But, Lord, we know that we can't handle them on our own. We can, but we can do all things and handle all things through our Savior Jesus Christ, who gives us the strength. We can walk in peace because we are so grateful that the indwelling presence of your Holy Spirit, God, your voice speaks to us, leads us in the way of truth. We are so grateful, God, that you are our Father and that we can come to you at any given time. We don't have to wait for a high priest to go on our behalf. We don't have to sacrifice an animal for our sins. The ultimate sacrifice was done on Calvary Hill when our Savior gave up his life. So we're just so grateful, God. And I just ask now that you will take control of our minds. Anoint our ears that we not only just hear, but we listen closely to the message you have for us. And we ask that you will infuse us, Jesus, with your power, your might, to stand firm and be a removal when we are faced with challenges, Lord. God, we just ask now that you just continue to look upon everyone that's on this line and their families. You know what all of us stand in need of. You know what our families stand in need of because you are omniscient. And we just trust in your sovereignty now, God, to just lead us, guide us, and protect us throughout the remaining of this day and this week, if it's thy will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Sister Milton on?
Yes, sir.
All right, all right. Hit it. We're ready.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Hold on. Just a little while longer. Hold on. Just a little while longer.
Yes.
Just a little while longer. And everything's gonna be all right. Pray on.
Yes,
just a little while longer. Pray on. Just a little while longer. Pray on, just a little while longer, and everything's gonna be alright. Sing on, just a little while longer, sing on, just a little while longer, sing on. Just a little while longer, and everything's gonna be alright. Just a little while longer, just a little while longer, everything's gonna be alright. Preach on. Just a little while longer. Just a little while longer. Everything's gonna be alright. Hold on.
Oh,
hold on, just a little while longer. Hold on, just a little while longer. Everything's gonna be all right.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Hold on. Yeah. Oh, yes.
Yes, Lord. Amen. Amen. Want to say good evening to each of you that are joining us in our summer session Tuesday, Walk in the Word. I am excited about this summer's study. As you all remember, last summer we walked through the book of John, and we talked about, do you believe? Do you believe? And we all ended that session with, I believe. So this summer we have selected the book of Romans. The book of Romans we will be walking through this summer. Hopefully, just an administrative note, that you have received your package for this summer session. We are asking if you would please also make a purchase of a steno pad or a notebook or something so that you can take some super good notes and pull some nuggets from our summer session. We are in hopes that we will meet at least one time face-to-face. We are working on locating a place where we will be able to bring those that are on the line, that are in the local area, bringing you together. Now, those that are on the line that call in, don't worry. You will still be able to connect with us no matter where we go. But we are looking forward to at least one face-to-face session as we walk through the book of Romans. Again, if you have not received your package via email or via mail or even hand-delivered, please let me know. I do want to make sure you get this as we follow our facilitator through this summer. There will be you will get some additional information besides what you've already received as well as what has been emailed to you, because this is an awesome study as we look at the Apostle Paul as he walks us through the book of Romans. I'm not going to say any more, because if I do, I will start in, and Brother Everett has already told Sister Janice to behave herself. He should have gave me that same note, Deacon Connor, tonight, for me to behave myself. Because when I go and I look at the book of Romans, you all, I can't help myself. I'm like, Paul, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, what does he say there? And then we're going to go to the facilitator. I promise you, I'm going to behave myself. Romans chapter 1, verse 16 and 17 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just, you all, shall live by faith." I've asked my brother, Pastor Kuiper, to lead us in our summer session from the book of Romans. We are going to begin tonight's session with a snippet about who the penman is, a snippet as to why it was written, a snippet a little bit about that church that was there at Rome. So please take out your pen, take out your paper, take out your, if you're using your tablet, take out your Bible, your markers, your pen. I guarantee you, when you walk away from this session on tonight, you will not be just given information, but I guarantee if you allow the Holy Spirit, it will bring about transformation. So tonight, my brother, who is an ambassador of Jesus Christ, who is born, has been born again, that knows that he is redeemed, he is a man of God, a man of integrity. And all of you have heard him teach, but we are praying with him as he walks through this book of Romans with us this summer, that we would not, as we come in, we would not leave the same. Yes, Deacon Carter, the old song says, "I looked at my hands, my hand was new. I looked at my feet, and they were too." But I will tell you all tonight, we're going to look at our hands. We got the same hands, but God's going to use our hands for something different to carry out his word. We're going to look at our feet, and they physically look the same, but our feet are going to go in some places that's going to bring about transformation. So with no further ado, I'm going to ask if we would please put our phones on mute because we are recording. But yes, if you have to say an amen tonight, go ahead and say an amen. Tonight, Pastor Kuiper, Reginald Kuiper, come on in the house, my brother, as you begin us in our walk through the word, starting in the book of Romans. Good evening, my brother, Pastor Kuiper.
Good evening. Good evening, saints on the line. Good evening. Thank you so much, Dr. Stevenson, for that introduction to our lesson tonight. So powerfully done. I'm excited because the word of God ignites us. It energizes us. It causes us to be excited because we read it, and if the Spirit of God ministers to us through the Word of God. So I just thank God for all of the saints that are on the line tonight. And yes, I'm calling you saints, and we're going to talk about that a little bit as we get into the book of Romans. And we know tonight, this journey through the book of Romans, we all, some of us probably heard about the Romans Road to Salvation. Well, the author of the material that we have sent out to everybody talks to all roads leading to Rome. Rome was an empire at the time that Paul wrote this epistle. And so all roads led to Rome. So Rome became a focal point, a center point of power, commerce, and things that took place in the world that day. Paul writes this letter, and when Paul writes this, one of the longest but most significant writings that he had made for Paul. You know that he was a Jewish rabbi belonging to that group of Pharisees, and he was passionate and devout to the Torah of Moses. Yes, and also the traditions. He was very well versed in those things. But one day, he ran into Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus.
Yes.
Going way to Damascus, he saw that the followers of Christ was a threat to what he believed in. But when he had that encounter with Jesus, it transformed his life. And it's our desire as we go through this book of Romans that you would have an encounter with God. We have the title of the lesson that was passed out through this study, Knowing God Through Romans. And our author is trying to communicate to us that there's a way to connect with God through this book as well as any other scripture that we have in the Bible. But he's talking particularly about knowing God through the book or the letter to the Romans. With Paul had proclaimed the news that every guilty person should long for in their life. We don't have to run from the law of God for the rest of our life, hounded by barking dogs as sins. And I like the way he said that God, he offers immunity. He offers pardon. And if he is for us, who can be against us? So as we go through this journey through the book of Romans, we want to lay a little foundation tonight. We hope that we won't keep you long tonight. We want to lay a foundation. We want to kind of look at some things as we move into this, and we're going to try to complete chapter 1 tonight. So I hope that we do this. The book of Romans is one of the most popular treatises in the scripture. A lot of us have read it, and some of the favorite scriptures that we all know by memory are in this book. Move forward. And what I want to say is that the letter itself was written by the Apostle Paul to the church at Rome somewhere around A.D. 57 or A.D. 56. And
Pastor Kuiper?
Yes.
Pastor Kuiper, would you check your earbuds or your volume on your phone? We're having an issue, a little bit of hearing you, and someone needs to mute their phone as well. We're getting a feedback from you. But okay. You're a little bit hard of hearing. If you could check your earbud or check your phone.
I'm going to change to speakerphone. Is that better?
Not yet.
Yes, sir.
If that's better, I'm going to switch to this mode. God bless you. Thank you for that feedback.
Yeah.
Amen. Got to have some feedback. Thank you very much. So as I was saying, and it makes me wonder how much was said if there was feedback on the line, but we know that this particular book of Romans that Paul wrote, here again, I say there's a lot of scripture in here that most of us had committed to our memory, into our mind, into our hearts, into our souls. We're going to cover some of those as we go through this journey. The Apostle Paul, like I said, he wrote this letter, this nifty letter, this epistle. He wrote it, around 56 or 57 A.D., and this was done as he was completing his third missionary journey. St. Paul had hoped at one day to go to Jerusalem and then to Rome and even as far as Spain. So he was trying to lay some foundation as he was writing this letter to the church at Rome, those believers that were there. He probably wrote the letter in preparation, of course, for his visit. We'll see that as we go through chapter 1. So we're going to go into chapter 1 sometime tonight. Like I said, I don't want to keep you low. This is introductory. We want to lay a little foundation. We want to draw a picture of that time. If we look at the time in which Christ was born and then the time after his death, his burial, his resurrection, and then we see the spreading of the gospel through Judea, Samaria, and then to the othermost parts of the world, we know that the apostle Paul became the one that was sent with the good news to the Gentile believers. And he started going on these missionary journeys to spread out the word of God. But he had never traveled to Rome, so he never had an opportunity to go to Rome, but he was looking forward to the time that he could go, and he was trying to set some foundation. The theme of this letter is righteousness. We're going to cover a lot of theological, if you will, type of topics in this particular epistle. Righteousness is there, and so we're going to talk about the revelation of God's righteousness. And so as we look through this, we're going to see that Paul teaches in his letter, number one, that no human being is righteous. No, not one. Jesus Christ is perfectly righteous, and he's the only one that was perfect in righteousness. And if we have faith in Jesus, number three, we are freed from the power of sin. We are given a new life, and we can turn to a right relationship with God. So we should live, number four is my, we should live Christian lives that are holy and pleasing to God. So righteousness is one of the things that we're going to look at. We're going to look at salvation, sanctification, the sovereignty of God, and our service in glorifying God, our service to God and our living as we glorify him. In our lesson material, we want to stay somewhat close to that because we're hoping that you are have received it and that you're going to read through the lesson as you're preparing your hearts and minds for what we are going to cover as we are praying for one another as we go on this journey. I see myself as your tour guide, guiding us through this book of Romans. But along the way, we will stop and have a little moment to reflect on what we have seen on the journey. And I'm hoping that you will take an opportunity because God is speaking to you to share with us some of the things that you are gaining through this journey. So as your tour guide, let me say in our material, it's outlined also in this way. We're going to talk about all roads lead to Rome. We've talked about that. All the wrong roads during that time led to Rome. Paul was a man with a burning heart. He had a strong desire for Israel that they would be saved. But he also became one that reached out to the non-Jews, those that they called Gentiles. And here again, like I said, we have good material here that we want to make sure that we focus on and that we get our minds into this and we pray. And praying and fasting could be something that we could commit ourselves to during the summer. So I know it's kind of hard when you're trying to have the 4th of July barbecue and some of these other things that we're partaking in. But let's try to spend some time in prayer as we prepare for our lessons. And so as we look at trying to know God through Romans, our author of the material speaks about the power of God, starting in chapter 1 through chapter 3, verse 20. He talks about the righteousness of God in chapter 3, verse 21 through chapter 8, verse 39. He talks about the sovereignty of God in chapters 9 through 11, and the expectations of God in chapter 12 through 16. Awesome outline. And even we can overlay some of the things I share with in terms of things that I saw. Here again, the power of God,
lets us know that no human being is righteous before God. The righteousness of God speaks to the righteousness through faith in Jesus Christ that we must have, because God, only God through Christ exhibited his righteousness to us. Christ died for our sin because he was righteous and holy, and we see that. And then we see that in the sovereignty of God, that God had a plan for Israel, and his sovereignty is in the power of what he can do for us. Now, I want to say a couple of things about the handout to encourage you, like I say, to read it. There's a lot of powerful things that's in here. As we even have a part of this in the back of the material where certain words, he has given us the definitions. He has spoke to details about justification. We want to get into that, and we want to share that with you. And as we get further on in the material, amen. I'm looking down in some of the materials. I'm looking, flipping through a little bit myself just to share with you. I want you to know that there's descriptions of Jesus Christ in Romans that he focuses on. He comes in there and lets us know that in here we have a description that Jesus is God. We talked about that a lot in the Gospel of John. He's a son of God. He speaks to that in Romans as well. He speaks of Jesus as the Messiah of Israel. Yes, but he was a stumbling block to those who insisted on salvation by law keeping, but the Savior of those who believe. That's who Jesus was, the Savior of those who believe. He spoke about him being the last Adam, our atoning sacrifice. He is Jesus Christ, our Lord. He is the Lord. He is our Redeemer. Jesus Christ is our Redeemer. He bought us out of the slave market of sin by paying the price for our redemption through his death on the cross. He's our reconciler. By his sacrifice on the cross, Jesus put an end to the hostility between the rebellious sinners, us, and a holy God. He bridged the gap between God and us by sacrificing himself, by dying in our place. Jesus Christ became what we are so that we can be what he are. He is. We can be one that we are declared righteous by his holiness. He's the resurrected one is the last thing that he talks about in the handout, and I think that is powerful to know that. Here again, there are terms that we're going to talk about. There are key terms for understanding this awesome journey through the book of Romans. We're going to talk about adoption. We're going to talk about conversion. There's something in here about death, being separated from God, and of course there's the physical death, separation of the body and soul. He's talking about faith, glorification. We're going to talk and focus on the good news, the gospel, the joyous proclamation of God's redemptive activity in Jesus Christ. We're going to talk about the grace of God, that unmerited favor of God to guilty sinners and those who are depraved. We don't deserve it, but we have this grace that we can stand in. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the impartation. Yes, there's some things that are imparted through the power of God, through his word, and through the Holy Spirit. The act of God by which he gives us a new creature, new nature through Holy Spirit. There's a new nature as the Holy Spirit comes to live in us, dwell in us, and be a part of us. The imputation, the act of God by which the righteous Jesus earned for us by his sinless life and his atoning death is legally given to us. We're going to talk a little bit about justification. Justification is a major theme, I believe, in the first part as we go through. And we're going to talk about the mercy of God. Oh, don't we want mercy? We need mercy. I'm reminded of Micah 6 and 8. What dost thou require of thee, O man, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly before thy God? So we're going to talk about God's kindness to us through his mercy. We'll talk about reconciliation, you know, the removal of the hostility between us and God. We're going to talk about redemption, the act of God in Christ by which we are bought out of the marketplace of sin. Oh, yes, he purchased us with his precious blood. We're going to talk about regeneration, the act of the Holy Spirit by which the person who believes in Christ is given new life, or we say is born again. We're going to talk about righteousness. We talked about that. That's a major theme. And we're going to talk about salvation, sanctification, sin and the wrath of God. We're going to even cover that even in chapter 1. So as we also lay in the foundation of what's going to occur here, as we know that Paul, we say, has written this around 57 A.D., we find through our study beyond the text, if you will, what was going on during that time. What was happening in Rome? We know that through our study of history, through some of the historians that have written, even some of the Roman historians and things, people who have read in theological circles have shared some things to us that in the writings of one of the Roman historians, Suetonius, we find that the Jews had been expelled from Rome by the Roman Emperor Claudius. Now, this occurred somewhere during his reign, and we do know that Claudius reigned as emperor. The exact dates are not necessarily known, but through the study, I found that through somewhere around January A.D. 41, so A.D. 41 until A.D. 53, Claudius reigned as emperor of Rome. And during that time, somewhere toward the end of his reign, he expelled these Jews. Why did he expel these Jews from Rome? Mainly because there were certain disturbances that the Jews were causing. See, it wasn't just those that were followers of Christ, but it was also those that were still Jews by the original Judaism. And we know that there was some instigation by some people that they'd be expelled because of the disturbances that they were causing. They weren't getting along with each other. So those who believed in Jesus were sometimes having issues with those who didn't accept Jesus as Messiah. So when he expelled them, he felt that was necessary to maintain order in the empire, in the part that where he was in Rome. And so there are other expulsions that took place of the Jews from Rome before the reign of Claudius, but we're not focused on that. We're focusing on that during the time of Claudius because this is close to the time that Paul had written this letter. And we have something in Scripture that lets us know that Paul was definitely familiar with some of the things that took place there. If we look at the book of Acts, chapter 18, we find these verses of Scripture. We find, after this, Paul left Athens and went to Corinth. There he met a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, who was recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had ordered all Jews to leave Rome. Paul went to see them, and because he was a tent maker, as they were, he stayed and worked with them. Every Sabbath, he reasoned in the synagogue, trying to persuade the Jews and the Greeks. So we see in Acts chapter 18 that Paul met Priscilla and Aquila in Corinth. They had come from Italy. They were part of probably being expelled by Claudius. And so since they were expelled from that era, he probably talked to them a lot about what had taken place back there. So we had those who believed that Jesus was the Messiah and those that did not receive. And isn't it interesting to know that there was a church in Rome and Paul didn't establish that church? They were already sharing the gospel of Christ in Rome. How did those believers get there? Well, we know that during the time of Christ, we know people came all the way from all different parts of the known world at the time. And we also know that during Pentecost, they came from all known parts of the world. And they had to travel there during several feast days. They were required to try to make that trip or that travel back to Jerusalem for that. So Pentecost was a day, as we know, when the Holy Ghost fell upon them in the upper room and they began to speak with other tongues. We know that the people heard the gospel in their languages. They had come. So it's very possible that there had been some people who had traveled to Jerusalem during that time who heard the gospel and were converted and had received the power of the Holy Spirit in their lives and went back to Rome spreading that good news. Listen, they were maybe not apostles, but they were people who spread the good news of Jesus Christ because they had experienced what had taken place during Pentecost. Isn't that all right? That's just so wonderful to know that that's how powerful this thing could be. And so I remember, and I'm reflected right now in Jesus Christ saying that, you know, upon this rock I'll build my church, my ecclesia, my called out assembly of believers, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So even then, even before Paul knew a lot about the church in Rome, he was aware that they existed, but they probably came about because other believers spread the gospel in the Roman area, in Rome, in that area, before they even, Claudius even became emperor. So we see this happening. We see that there was an expulsion, and it probably lasted for about 5 years. And at the end of those 5 years, the Jews that came back found that some of the other Jews, we're talking about Jews believers, I should say Jewish believers, because we want to focus on the believer side of this, but the Jews and the Jewish believers came back. But those who were believers in Christ, both Jews and Gentiles, when they came back, they found that the church was kind of in a little disarray. Some of those who were believers had become more, how should I say, more worldly, or more caught up in the things that were occurring in the culture. They became more involved in compromising their beliefs and faith. But there was also some arguments between them. And, you know, you listen to some people say, they say that Paul didn't write this because there was something to solve. No, most of it is not about that. But, yes, there were some issues going on with the church at Rome. There were still some discussions about whether or not they should be circumcised, whether or not they had to follow some of the special ordinances that God had. So they still had some of those same discussions as well. And so when we're looking at this book of Romans, let us keep those things in mind, that the Roman Empire, a powerful empire, was struggling with the Jews and the Jewish believers and the Gentile believers because of their faith, and because they also caused problems because they were rioting and causing problems amongst themselves. So what does that remind us of? That reminds us of the day that we live in today. How germane is this book to us today? When we think about our culture, we live in the United States, which is considered the most powerful country on earth. We have a large country. We have president. We don't have an emperor, but we need to be careful because some presidents want to be emperors, or some who run for president want to be emperors. But we do not have a empire in the sense that we have an emperor. But we do have a culture that's very vibrant, and a lot of roads lead to the United States of America. Yes, people come here as we call them immigrants. They come here. They're welcome to come here, and they're welcome to even practice their religions when they're here. Much like Rome and the emperors tolerated some of that because it kept people, sort of kept the peace to some extent, so they allowed them as well to practice certain things. But we have to be careful when we are believers. We are followers of Jesus Christ. So that doesn't necessarily make us better than them. That makes us different than them. And so those who are believers who accepted Jesus Christ, whose lives were transformed into a new creation, they were having challenges with some who would not let go of some of the traditions and things that they wanted to keep hold of. So I hope you keep that thought in your mind as we move through the book. And I think that would probably be sufficient to set the stage of what was going on at Rome as they had received this letter from Paul. And he's writing it a few years after they had returned after having been expelled from Rome by Emperor Claudius. So let's turn our Bibles to Rome chapter 1, and let's see if we can tonight get through this chapter and see how God will speak to us through the scripture. A lot of times people want to say, hey, you know, preacher is powerful, but the power is in the word of God. the power is in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so we're going to find that as we study this, that the power is in the Word of God. So if you have your Bibles and you're still taking notes, let's turn to the book of Romans, chapter 1. It reads this way: Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God. For the gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures regarding his son, who as to his earthly life was a descendant of David, and who through the spirit of holiness was appointed the Son of God in power by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. So Paul opens up with a powerful statement, letting them know that he was a servant of Christ. Some texts say a slave of Christ. In the Greek, a doulos. He was by choice a servant of Christ, called to be an apostle, one that sent forth and set apart, separated for the gospel of God, to spread that gospel and to share with them the promise that God had made beforehand. Yes, God had made promises in his scripture, in the Holy Scriptures. We're talking about the Old Testament. There were promises regarding a Messiah that was going to come, about his earthly life, that he would be a descendant of David. And through the spirit of holiness, he was appointed and anointed the Son of God in power by the resurrection from the dead. He is Jesus Christ, our Lord. Paul goes on to say to them, through him we receive grace and apostleship to call all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith in his name's sake. And you also are among those Gentiles who are called to belong to Christ. So he focuses on the Gentile believer because it was a Gentile area. But keep in mind, there were Jews there who had become Christians and also Jews who still practiced Judaism. But Paul is writing to them as a Gentile majority and saying, listen, you are those Gentiles. You're called to belong to Christ. I ask you tonight, who do you belong to? Are you belong to Christ? Do you belong to self? Do you belong to Satan? Who do you belong to? We are called to belong to Jesus Christ. And he said, to all that are in Rome who are loved by God and called to be his holy people. We are loved by God and called to be his holy people, to be sanctified, set apart for his purpose. He says, grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul longed to visit them in Rome. He's talking to them in the letter, and he writes, first, he wanted to thank his God. I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is being reported all over the world. God, whom I serve in my spirit, is preaching the gospel of his Son, is my witness how constantly I remember you in my prayers at all times. And I pray that now at last, by God's will, the way may be open for me to come to you. Paul is letting them know that he longed to visit them. He prayed for them. He heard about them. He knew about them. He knew what was going on. He even knew that there was persecution by the emperor toward them. He wanted them to know that he prayed for them constantly, and that he wanted them to know that he wanted to see them, and God may have opened a way. Now, when Paul was talking here about God has opened a way for him to come to them, he may not have been thinking about exactly how that was going to come to pass. He could have been thinking that he would have traveled there on another missionary journey. But we know that he ended up being put in bonds and chain, and was led to Rome as a prisoner. But yet, even as a prisoner in bonds, he ministered the gospel of Jesus Christ to whomever he came in contact with. And he knew that he was told, when he was told after God had met him on the road to Damascus, that he would prepare before kings and princes. He didn't tell them how he was going to appear before them, because he appeared before them in chains and bonds as he stood before King Agrippa. Say, King Agrippa, I wish that you were as I was as yet for these bonds. As he was even then ministering the good news of Jesus, and that he had heard about Jesus. He knew King Agrippa had heard about it. And King Agrippa, some people, when you minister the word of God, when you share the gospel of Jesus Christ, there will be some that receive and some that reject. And King Agrippa that day say, Paul, I wish as I was, you almost persuaded me to become a Christian. But he rejected Christ that day. So Paul goes on to let them know that he prayed for them. He said, I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. That is, that you and I may mutually be encouraged by each other's faith. So we are encouraged tonight by each other's faith. And just as Paul was saying that he wanted to impart some spiritual gift to them of encouragement, and knowing that they were joined together by their mutual faith, they can encourage each other in the faith. He said, I do not want you to be ignorant, as it says in King James, or unaware in the NIV, that he had planned many times to come to Rome, but he had been prevented from doing so until that time. So he saw a way to get there in order that he might have a harvest among them, just as he had had among other Gentiles. Paul was confident that this gospel was a transforming message that could continue to bless them and transform their lives and build them up in a most holy faith. Paul says, I'm obligated both to the Greeks and to the non-Greeks, both to the wise and the foolish. He said, that is why am I so eager to preach the gospel also to you who are in Rome. He said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, Dr. Singh, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile. But in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last. Just as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. We live by faith. We walk by faith. We trust God by faith, not by sight. We trust in the Lord with all our might. We lean not to our own understanding, but in every part of our ways, we acknowledge God that he might direct our paths. God has wrath, though. The wrath of God, Paul goes on, as he let them know. He turns in his writing to them, and he begins to talk about God's wrath against the sin that man has in his life. He says, the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all godliness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. God is saying that he's already made this plain to everyone, that they might know who God is. He says, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his external power and divine nature, in the King James it says Godhead, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. He's saying the very nature of creation communicates us the power of God, the beauty of God, the divine nature of God. Even when we look at his creation, Many of us like to visit a zoo. People like to go to places to see the earth and all the magnificence, glory of this planet. So we've even collected animals in the zoo so that we might marvel over them, and we might marvel over the cheetah and the speed that it runs. We marvel over the elephant, the giraffe, for being tall. We marvel even at the insects on the planet, the spider who spins a web of perfect design. We marvel over his creation. We know that something greater than us created this, and we're part of that creation. And so people are not, they don't have an excuse. They're without excuse in understanding that God exists. He goes on to say, for although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. People who call themselves atheists, who are not believers, I don't know if I believe there's anything as such as a true atheist. I believe that it's some people who believe something, even if they believe in themselves only. But he's saying that there were some that knew God, but they did not glorify him as God. They didn't live for God. But in their thinking, they became futile and foolish in their hearts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like a mortal human being and birds and animals and reptiles. So they created these gods, these false gods of imagery, taking, reveling in glory in the creation instead of the creator. And they began to glory those things. We may say, well, we don't have statues of a frog and all these other things that they may have had, statues of people, because they even made statues. We have statues. We have monuments that we make to men. But we may not glorify in everything that they did as far as idol gods. But we do have some things that we do glorify. Maybe we idolize money, cars, things, you know, all kinds of things. But he's making a point that they were glorying in those things. Therefore, God, because of they wanting to glorify this thing and because their hearts were darkened, he says in verse 24, therefore God gave them over to the sinful desires of their hearts, to sexual impurity, for the degrading of their bodies with others. And the King James, it talks about a reprobate mind, sinful desires of their hearts, to sexual impurity, for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth about God for a lie, and worship and serve created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Let it be so. Let it be done. So we must be careful, even as we look at this generation and we look at this earth, we look at our culture, we look at our country, we look at our community, to make sure that we're not exchanging the truth of God for a lie that the enemy is perpetrating before us. We must always worship God. And we know the scriptures say that those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Let us not be deceived by the deceiver who seeks to kill, steal, and destroy, and to deceive our minds who accept things as being more important than God. We look around and we see our community where people are focusing on things and focusing on their selfish desires and going after the wrong things. People want to do what's right in their own eyes, as we see in the book of Judges, as it talks about that. Because of this, God gave them over to those shameful lusts. Even their women exchanged natural sexual relations for unnatural ones. In the same way, the men also abandoned the natural relations with women and were inflamed in lust for one another. Inflamed, my God, men committing shameful acts with other men and receive in themselves the due penalty for their error. See, Paul is talking to them. Paul is aware of what's going on in that culture. The Roman culture was a culture that did allow these things and promoted these things. It was part of their living. Homosexuality was part of their living. What we are seeing today is not new, saints. It has occurred on this earth many times. We can go back to Sodom and Gomorrah. We can move up to the Roman Empire. But men are doing things. Women are doing things. And it's all is being accepted, and they are going to receive the penalty for their error. Furthermore, Paul says, just as they did not think it worthy to retain the knowledge of a God, so God gave them over to a deprived, reprobate mind so that they do what ought not to be done. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. To be depraved, we are so debased in our character and the way we act. That's what we see in our world today. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They have no understanding, no fidelity, no love, no mercy. My brothers and sisters, this is a tough list here. So when I heard a minister say that Paul was writing this, he wasn't trying to address problems, he sure sounded like he addressing some problems here to me. So he is addressing error right up front. He's letting them know these things are occurring in your culture. These are things that are happening. But he's going to move on in chapter 2. We're not going to cover that tonight, but he's going to move on to judgment and talking about the wrath of God in a little bit more detail. The last verse of this chapter, and we can close the lesson after this and open it up for discussion. He said, although they knew God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these very things, but also approve of those who practice them. My brothers and sisters, people are doing these things and they want to get other people involved to the point that we're trying to change laws that facilitate people participating in these things that we know are not of God's decree for us. They're not of God's laws and rules and regulations for a sanctified, holy people. The Romans were facing these things. Paul starts off his letter. He wants them to know that he's thinking about them. He's praying for them. He loves them. God loves them. And he wants to come to them. He wants to impart the spiritual gift into them. He wants to be able to preach and spread even more into them about the gospel of Jesus, that we would not live this way. You would not live this way, that you would live holy and sanctified before a holy and righteous God. You would honor him in the things that he has decreed that we should do to be his. Of course, we know that keeping the law doesn't save us. We're saved by faith through grace and not of ourselves. It is a gift of God that any man should boast. It is something that God has given us through the blood of Jesus Christ. And he wanted them to know that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. He is God. And so my brothers and sisters, saints, I'd rather call you saints tonight because Paul called them saints. Those are believers. We're saints. Paul is opening up this road, and he's hitting this thing hard coming out of the box. He's coming out the block hard. He's hitting hard. Right here in chapter 1, he's calling out these sins. He's calling out the lives of these that are believers. He's talking to believers. He's talking to the church, and he's talking about the culture that they live in that's influencing their lives. These things are not to be a part of God's body, of the body of Christ. It should not be a part of this. We should be mindful of those things, that they not be part of what we do. it is my hope and my prayer as we are walking through this journey. As I said, Paul will continue as he's talking about this. He's talking about God. He's talking about God's holiness. We're talking about not glorifying God, but we should be glorifying God. He's going to get further in that to let us know that we are sinners, that we are saved by the grace of God through the blood of Jesus. So as we move forward next week, we'll get more into the power of God. We'll talk about his wrath. We'll talk about the sin nature of man, the righteousness that's displayed in the law that he gave, his holy decree, the need for salvation for our lives, and the battle in our lives being slaves to Satan and to sin. My brothers and sisters, I know this isn't laying on a high note, but the high note is that we can say glory be to God because we have accepted him as our Lord and Savior. We have made the declaration of faith. We have confessed with our mouth and believed in our heart that Jesus Christ died for our sin and that God resurrected him from the dead. We have been born again, born of the Spirit of God. We worship him in spirit and truth, and we can be confident that we can maintain the faith even to the end. So be encouraged, my brothers and sisters, that we can walk forward under the power of God's mighty hand. Yes, God's wrath is true against sinful humanity, but through the payment, atonement, and of Jesus Christ by sharing his blood, we can bridge that gap to eternal life. May God bless us tonight. May he keep us, and may he strengthen us, my prayer. So now I want to open it up, and we'll share, and I'll turn it back over to our moderator, and let's talk about this. If somebody has something they want to share that's in their heart, we would love to hear what God has spoken to you in chapter 1 of Romans. Amen.
Good evening, church.
Good evening, Uncle John.
Pastor Kuiper, you had it again. You had it again.
My God.
Yeah, you thrashing out some good words. Good words. I don't have much to throw after you. You mentioned about the day of Pentecost. At Peter's preaching, it is said 3,000 souls were saved. Some are all nations. So therefore, some of them probably from Rome. Rome was an affluent place, so some probably from Rome at the day of Pentecost. Getting back to Paul, Paul was one of a kind. After he was converted to Christianity, after he met Christ, he didn't let nothing turn him around. He tried to help everybody else to learn about Christ. Sometimes neglected himself. Paul had gave it all up to follow Jesus Christ. My question this evening, what will you give up?
Lord.
Doesn't say whether Paul had houses or land.
No.
Known that he was a tent maker.
Yes.
Life he lived, that's probably all he needed was a tent because he was always on the move. Come to think of it, our bodies are just like a tent.
Yeah.
We got to fold it up one day and be on the move because this life will just passing through. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Uncle John. God bless you. God bless you tonight. Amen. Anyone else, just jump in and talk about what God is doing and sharing in your life tonight.
Is there someone else coming online? Amen. Pastor Kiper, just to jump in tonight, I know others have taken some great notes and great nuggets as we walk away. Number one is, I'm like Uncle John, you painted a picture tonight. You painted a picture of what was going on in Rome at the time. You painted a picture of what society looked like. And that same picture that you painted for them, you painted for us as well. You called us saints tonight, believers, redeemed, forgiven. You reminded us of our identity in Christ Jesus, just as Paul reminded them of their identity. One of the things that resonated with me is that Paul prayed for them. Sister Jan, he was an intercessor, because it says we see Paul intercessory prayer for them. We see him as an encourager, and we also see him that he was eager to preach God's word. Like Uncle John said, he neglected himself to make sure others got this good news, the gospel, because he had received it himself. I thank you for painting the picture, too, of Paul, the kind of man that he was before he met Christ. I don't know about anybody else on the line, but I had a before life, too. My life before I met Christ, before he became my personal Savior. And then I saw something else that resonated with me, is that we are called to be holy. Holy in our walk, holy in our relationship, holy in terms of how we interact with others, in terms of even business situations. Thank you, Pastor Kiper, as you reminded us of the grace and the peace. And when you went through the all of those words and the definition of those words, and as we get more involved in it, I'm going to see myself. I'm going to see the mercy of God. I'm going to see the grace of God. I'm going to see the forgiveness of God. When I have misstepped and messed up, I'm going to see it. But I got a question for you, if you don't mind, Pastor. Is based on my listening tonight and my note-taking tonight concerning Paul and how he referred to himself and how he, as I said, described the Romans and what was going on there in that environment. How do I pray? What prayer do I pray coming out of this, Pastor Kiper? After listening to this study tonight and listen to you walk through, especially when you talked about the passions that do not align with God's word, the lifestyle that does not align with God's word. How do I pray? What do I pray as a disciple of Christ?
Amen. Amen. When my mind, as you ask this question, I think about praying that those that are in those situations, that they be saved, and that someone would be able to take to them this good news about Jesus. Even if they are rejecting it, I still would pray that we be empowered to go forth and share the gospel with people that we meet. We never know who is open to receive the gospel of Jesus Christ unless it's been specifically communicated to us when we pray. I remember doing ministry in one of the project areas, and I remember walking from door to door sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I would pray, I said, Lord, I pray that everyone in this community would be saved. Now, that may not have happened because they have the choice to reject the gospel. But what I can tell you, Dr. Singh, that when I walked to certain doors, I remember walking up to this door and this lady came, and I just mentioned about Jesus Christ and him dying for her and love, he loves her. She just broke down crying. She needed to hear the gospel that day. So our prayer should be one of salvation and deliverance with those in our family, those that are friends, those that are co-workers, those that we're around. I had an awesome conversation today with Sister Pat Henderson, knowing the power of God, how God's working in her life, and just being able to pray that we be built up to be able to do the work of spreading this gospel. That would be my shortest answer, and maybe someone else on here, Apostle Asad, somebody else could add to that. But to me, I want to pray, number one, that they be saved, because Paul's heart desire was that all Israel be saved. And I want everybody that I know to be saved. Mm-hmm. Amen.
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 Thank you for those prayers.
Mm-hmm. And Pastor Kuiper, even behind that prayer, when they pray for their salvation and everyone to be saved and they are not receptive, and when things start to happen in their life, whether we see them, hear from them, you know, like we have spread the gospel to them, the Holy Spirit will bring it back to them, and they are, you know, they want to receive salvation. They want to be saved.
Yes.
But on down the line, somewhere, we will run into them again. We will see them again.
Amen. 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 And that's so powerful, because we plant, we water, and God gets the increase. Amen. And we must be willing to speak to them. Sometimes we are fearful of this, because when we look at this lesson, we could probably add a few things to the list that Paul had. You know, people are afraid in their communities of the people. I used to walk up and down the street, and I said, why should I be afraid of my own people? But sometimes these kids right here, they're pretty tough out there. So we want to have to be empowered with the gospel of Jesus Christ to share it with them. Amen. Anybody. Come on, sir.
Amen. Namaste. It's very important that we are transparent when we are witnessing to people. You don't have to tell them all your business, but we have to give them a true picture, because oftentimes when people minister to others, especially non-believers, we can come off as not ever having any issues, not ever sinning. And that is not a drawing card. That's actually what pushes people far away. And you just have to meet people where they are. I mean, we can't go to them with a turned up nose. We can't go with a judgmental attitude looking at them. We have to be very mindful of our nonverbal communication skills, because people are looking at us now. You know, a lot of people have been hurt by church people. And I tell you, the worst hurt is from church people. And if a church person has hurt somebody, it's very difficult and hard to get them back to believing all the other church people are genuine. It's difficult. If it had not been for my praying grandmother, I would have left the church alone over 30 years ago. But I had a praying grandma, praying mother that kept me. So we have to be mindful of that, because we don't really paint a true picture. You know, my brother, I done been out here before. I mean, I know how it is out here. I done did this, I done did that, you know. I used to hang out over here. You know, this used to be my stomach ground. Do you remember what this? I don't remember it yet, but this used to be so-and-so spot. And you just have to keep it real, because, see, if you don't be real with them, everything else you say after the end with that initial confrontation, it really goes out the window. But when you meet them where they are and you really zoom in on them, and that you know how the streets are or how things could potentially be or how where they are, then they'll be more comfortable in talking with you and start sharing with you why they don't go to church. I was talking to a good friend of mine today. And he said he was ministering to some guys at a dry cleaning. And the guys were telling him that they didn't have any hope anymore in family. The gangs were their family. Parents have kicked them out. The church, they don't have any hope in. So they really don't have any hope but what's in the street now. And we got to turn that around. We got to change that trajectory so that we can reach everybody.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Nobody said it was going to be easy. Nobody said it was going to be easy. Yes, indeed.
Other comments? Amen. Other comments, please.
A question. Was this matter written to the Catholic Church in Rome? Was it the Catholic Church in Rome?
Well, I would say, brother, that at the time of the letter, the emperors were in power. That first century of emperors, there was at least about 12 of them. Those emperors, some of them were worship, you know, emperor worship was going on. And it could be that some of this impacted what became the Catholic Church, because I think this was still before Constantine became emperor, who kind of, you know, they began to adopt Christianity as a state religion. But brother, you might have some other thoughts about that, and you might be able to educate us on. But I do know that there was a lot of emperors during that first century, because we're talking about 56, 57 A.D. And so we had about, during that whole first 100 years, you know, in the first century, there's about 12 of them. Six, let me say this about this. Since you brought it up, brother, let me say this, and I'll let you add if you got something that you can share with us. Six of those emperors were assassinated. Two committed suicide. Five of them were elevated to the status of gods in their culture. Five of them was worshipped as gods. And so, you know, so a lot was going on. So I'm not sure how that impacted the Catholic Church, but I don't know if you had any other thoughts about that, brother.
No, this was curious. This, I know Catholics started in Rome, the Catholic Church, I think. I started in Jerusalem or Rome.
Yes,
but
Rome.
That was the first church, and then the church had branched off the Catholic Church, didn't they?
Well, what happened, that's a good point, brother, and let's talk about that, and I'll share a little bit with you. Thank you for asking that question.
Mm-hmm.
Rome is where, you know, if you talk to a Catholic, then they would say Peter was the first pope. So we have some things of disagreement with the Catholic Church, and you're right. As they adopted, Constantine supposedly had converted to Christianity, and when he converted to Christianity, a couple of emperors later, they decided to establish Christianity as the state religion. So it became the religion. And so it became accepted. And then there were some battles between the emperors and the popes. When the popes came to power, there were some battles that went back. So mostly everything that we practice in the West comes off that Western vein of Christianity out of the Roman Empire. But there was actually two sides. It was Constantinople, who was the Eastern Orthodox, and then we have the West, which was Rome. So when we think about the Eastern Orthodox, we think of people like the Greek Orthodox, the mm-hmm. Russian Orthodox Church. So, mm-hmm. so they came off the Eastern part of this. But when we go to the West, then it's Rome. And so Rome believed that they would have one pope over everybody. The Eastern Orthodox said we would have patriarchs over regions. So there's always war going on in this thing, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And so as we come from Rome to the West, we began to break off. You know, of course, you know, we get to Martin Luther. Then all of a sudden when Martin Luther gets here, then we have a breakout of all these other different religious pieces of Christianity. But we talk about the era of the Catholic Church a lot when we talk. And so I know I'm getting off a little bit, Saints, but I hear what you're saying, brother, and I'm feeling it, and that's a good question. I'm not sure if I got the solid answer for you, but that is my thoughts about that. Amen.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I appreciate that. You just give me a little study on it. But I take away also that when they became vain and worshiped themselves instead of worshiping God, and he turned them over because they didn't want to line up with his will, And I just see that the split, how it was split in the Catholic Church, I mean, how the split happened. And it was easy to do because it was starting in the church among the leader, the Pope. But I hear a lot in this. I'm not going to.
I see how the Lord's speaking to you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And we just got to take heed to what the Lord is saying, because Paul also made it loud and clear that it ain't but one thing that he wasn't ashamed of, and that was the gospel, because he said it's the power of God to bring us back into alignment, to hold us in alignment with the will of God in spite of all of the afflictions, the trials, the tribulations that was going on in Rome. So they had to hold a steadfast course, because it was easy to get pulled away into all the other worship and all the other stuff. And it's just the same, as you say, going on today.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we got to continue to encourage each other to hold steadfast to the word of God, because the same gospel that Peter preached and Paul preached, it caused souls to be saved. It caused the blind and the lame to walk. It's the same gospel that we're dealing with in the book of Romans that we got to hold steadfast to, because that's the transforming power of God through the Holy Spirit. It's the word of God. So I that's what I take away tonight. Yeah.
Amen. Is that Pastor Albert?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah, Pastor Howard. Look, one of the things you said, brother, the word hit me was alignment. He bring that thing back in alignment. And he was trying to straighten them out, wasn't he?
Yes,
oh,
sir.
My God.
He was.
Yes, sir. God bless him. That's powerful. Thank you for that.
Bless
yes,
you,
sir.
Brother.
And Pastor Kuiper, you said something that's very true about creating their own God. We have that today, as you've already said. I'm mighty afraid this group that's popping up everywhere now, that they're dressed in purple. I've had opportunity just to hear them say a thing or two while I'm traveling through a shopping center. And their message is so distorted, but they have such a convincing message that we got to make certain that our message about the gospel of Jesus really get out there, because there are some young people that are really listening to them, and they are being led astray.
Yeah.
And we have to make certain that when we are talking to people, as I said before, we got to be really transparent. We can't be biting around things. We got to tell it like it is and just be honest. But we see that now, and they are attracting so many young people now.
Mm.
And young people want to be a part of something that's paying them attention, or that's showing them love, and that's not really real love, because a lot of that stuff is really for their own self-gratification. And then it puts that person that's on the edge more and more out there, because now they thought they were getting connected with a group that really understands them, when they're really not understanding. They're really trying to for their own personal gain. So we just got to be real careful in our approach when we're witnessing the people.
Amen.
And,
amen, brother. Amen.
Brother Henderson, those are the ones that don't have any hope.
Yeah.
And they don't feel any love from family members or anybody. So they go out on the streets. And those people that give them that stuff that's not of God, they believe it, because they are weak at the mind.
Yes. Yes, my sister, mother. You know, they preach. Anytime you're teaching hate, that ain't coming from the God I know. Now, God has wrath against sin. But when you're trying to attack, like I said, I believe they hurt too. I think these are people that, you know, have been hurt somewhere or misled. And through their pain, it's easy to bring people. That's how cults draw people, because they've been hurt somewhere, either by the church or whatever. And I think I heard somebody say one time that Gandhi may have said this. You know, he said, I love your Christ, but I don't love your Christians because they're not like Christ.
Mm.
Oh, my God. Listen to me. Mm-hmm. That was Gandhi?
That was
okay,
Gandhi.
Thank you. I got that right. Lord have mercy. I stepped out there on that one. I didn't know if I was right. Amen.
That's
but listen what he's saying. He's saying how we behave our lives. Pastor Albert talking about lining it up. Brother Everett's talking about we got to deal with it because so much is out there. We got to be able to talk to this. It's tough with this generation. I mean, it's tough.
Yeah.
That's part of our prayer, going back with Dr. Singer. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Our prayer language should be faith, hope, and love, because without faith, it's impossible to please God. And our
mm-hmm.
hope keep us in alignment. And our love allows the things of God to be revealed to us. Because if we have faith and hope and don't have love, we're going to try to make things happen. But I come through with that because Romans 1:17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. And as we continue to pray, we pray in by faith, trust in God, with our hope in God, with our love language manifested among those who are doing all kind of crazy stuff. So I just take away also that when I pray, I got to keep faith, I got to keep hope, and I got to keep love. So we separate them three. We're going to try to make something happen on our own. We'll be praying the long ritual prayers, trying to pray something to happen. Like Elijah, that they was down with Elijah, but Elijah prayed faith, hope, and love, and the power of God moved. But the other ones prayed. Just they had some faith, but it wasn't the hope and the God that Elijah served, and they didn't have that compassion. And Elijah prayed with compassion, and that's when we can see God move because of our past compassion, mankind.
Mm.
It's easy to look at them and judge them, but when you're praying with that compassion, with that sincere heart of compassion, trusting God to do the work, that's when the manifestation come forth. And it ain't too late for us, because we're in the book of salvation right now, Romans, what you're talking about. And this book don't move you to get in the vineyard and work. And maybe we need to get back in the water, or go back to the first plan of salvation. Because, yeah, I appreciate y'all. Let me join
y'all.
Yeah,
Pastor. Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Yeah, Pastor. Look. Ooh, I'm sorry. I'm keeping the that's faith, hope, and love. Man, and the compassion, the bowels of mercy. Man, that spoke to me, Pastor. You know, mm-hmm. and we have to be moved with compassion. When
yes,
we read
sir.
In the gospel, it said Jesus was moved with compassion and he healed
mm-hmm.
them.
Mm-hmm.
I got to have that. And sometimes it's hard to love the unlovable. I'm going to tell mm-hmm. I'm going to be honest with you, Pastor. But I do know that you're right. I felt that. Having the faith, the hope, and the love, and the prayer. And people, you know, we still got to love them, and that's agape. That don't mean that,
yes,
you know, we got some problems with what you're doing here, and there's some consequences of what you're doing out there. But, you know, when we're dealing with people who are, you know, it touches our family, you know. I have people who have problems with the law in my family, you know, things like that, but I love them. You know, I have family members, you have family members that's incarcerated, but I love them. And I still
mm-hmm.
talk to
mm-hmm.
you know, and I
mm-hmm.
can't, you know, so I hear what you're saying, faith. I still have faith and hope that God
mm-hmm.
will reach them And I loved it. Amen. Thank you, brother. Thank you for that. That was powerful for me. Yes,
my last word is it was a very powerful introduction that you vowed for. I appreciate it. I enjoyed it.
Amen. God bless you, brother.
God bless you, Pastor Kafer. How you spell your name?
It's like Kuiper. It's like Piper with a K. Kuiper.
Kuiper.
And everybody, all the saints on the line heard that tonight. Kuiper. Like Piper with a K.
Okay.
Amen, brother. But whatever, I know you're talking to me, brother, so I just appreciate you and I appreciate your comments and encouragement.
Yeah.
So be blessed, man. Mm-hmm.
Yes, you too.
Amen. Thanks, everybody, for those wonderful comments and your questions and everything. Are there any others? Any other comments? Questions? That's what the professor does. I called him the professor. Professor Pastor Reginald Kuiper. Amen. Thank you for the good word. Thank you for all the wonderful comments and everything. Amen. Praise reports. What's been going on since we last heard each other? I'm sure we got something to praise him for.
Yes, I do. This is Gloria, and I would just like to say that Minister Singleton prayed for my hands today, and they felt better than they have in a very long time.
Amen. Anyone else?
Well, yesterday I went through I had an attack on my mind yesterday. Satan was really at me yesterday. And the only thing I could do was cry and repeat the 23rd Psalm. And I know Satan was trying to attack me because I was in my mother's truck and I was been driving it for a couple of days, and I did some work on it other day, and it's trying to drive it, and I had my peace of mind in my center console. You gentlemen know what I mean by peace of mind. And it was like, go and take that thing going in your life. It ain't what you were. And I knew then that God has got some blessings somewhere from you real soon, because when you're trying to do right and when things come at you, Satan, that's how he works. And that's why it's so important that our mind is in this word and we continue to look to God. If you ain't got but one verse, wear that one verse out.
Yeah.
Because when you got that one verse and you wear it out, it's still the presence of the Lord with you, because you're speaking God's word. And I was just able to just get back focused. And only thing I could hear after that was I listened to a message from the late Dr. Charles Stanley, and one of his messages said, "I trust you, God." And I had no saying that. I mean, because I tell you, sometimes this life itself, thinking about things that are going on, can really bring you down. And then if you got personal issues, Satan will find a way to just stick his fork in your head, and he'll turn it. But I just thank God for bringing me out of that dark moment yesterday. And it just came out of nowhere. I mean, and that's just how life is sometimes. I thank God.
Amen, brother. Thank God for your testimony, because I have them days myself. But yeah, we ain't in this alone.
Amen. Anyone else?
Heard a familiar testimony this morning, so I tell you, he's running rapid. You know, his time ain't long.
Yes, he is.
Any others?
Yes, this is JJ, and I want to give my testimony. From last Monday up until yesterday, I was really down and really depressed. I had a lot going on as far as taking a mammogram, and then they're going to tell me they see something that was abnormal. So I had my prayer warriors praying and praying, mm-hmm. and I was also praying myself. And yesterday mm-hmm. I went and had to redo everything, ultrasound, mammogram. Everything came out perfect. They didn't see anything, but I still got one more hurdle to go. They want me to go and do a MRI to make sure that everything is
right.
good. So keep me in your prayer.
It's already worked out.
Yes,
it's already
yes.
worked out.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
And I thank everybody that sent the prayers for me.
Yes,
everybody.
Yes.
Revelation 12:11, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto death.
Yes.
Amen. The testimony must come forth. Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
That helped you overcome the next hurdle by you sharing that.
Amen.
Amen. Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Okay. Hallelujah. All right, all right, all right. Anyone else? Amen.
To my sister, our God is awesome. He can move mountains. If you in the valley, hide you from the rain. Our God is awesome.
Yes,
awesome. Our God is awesome. Hold on.
Amen.
God thought you were my sister.
Amen.
All will be well.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
In the Lord. Yes. I will trust in the Lord.
All right.
I will trust in the Lord. Until I die, I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord.
Yeah.
I will trust in the Lord until I die. Stay on the battlefield.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
I'm going to stay on battlefield. I'm going to stay on battlefield until he calls me home. I'm going to stay on the battlefield. I'm going to stay on the battlefield. I'm going to stay on the battlefield until he calls me home. Thank you, Sister Jen. Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
I think one of them deacons picked it up back in the old days and said, I'm going to treat everybody right.
Thank
you, Lord. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Well, I die.
Amen.
Boy.
Amen.
Yes.
Any other praise reports? And lastly, on this 9th of July, 2024, I thank God for 79 years around the sun.
Amen.
Moving on.
Amen.
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 Amen. 79.
Woo.
Yes, sir.
Wow.
Marching on. Amen.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yes, yes.
It's today your birthday, brother?
Yes, it is.
Well, praise God. Praise
happy
God.
Birthday.
Happy
birthday. Yeah. I wonder why they were so quiet.
Praise the Lord.
Another day is good. Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 Well,
amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. Prayer list.
I have a prayer request. This young lady called me while I was online. Her name is Kiara Fordham. Her blood pressure, her heart rate, and everything is just out of order. She has to go to a cardiologist. She knows what to do. And I just told her she got to trust God and go on and do what she have to do because she have had all kind of confirmation. So she wants to be on the prayer list. Kiara Fordham.
Kiara Fordham.
Yes.
Praise God.
And also continue to keep Carla Hopkins on the prayer list. Carla Fry Hopkins.
Amen.
Yeah, I'm well familiar with them.
Okay. And I ask that y'all keep Angelica Lester in your prayers. We had a memorial service not this past Sunday, but Sunday before last, where we memorialized her grandmother. She looked like she was doing well. But come to find out just a few days after grandmother memorial, she was admitted into the hospital. She has pneumonia. So I ask that y'all continue to keep her in your prayers. It's still a very trying time for the family, just losing their grandmother. And my cousin, her mother, she's having a challenging moment just seeing her daughter in that condition and having to just bury her mother. It's a lot. So I ask that you just continue to keep the lesson in your family in your prayer.
My Lord. My Lord. Amen. Amen. Anyone else to be added?
Sister Ann Mack.
The Ann Mack.
She's busy on her shoulder.
Any other additions?
Yes, keep JJ on the list, too, for prayer.
Amen.
All right, JJ.
Amen.
Let us continue to keep Minister Miller, Ellen Miller, on our list for prayer as well.
Amen.
Amen. And Deacon Miller as well.
Amen.
And certainly keep Pastor Kuiper as he continues his walk through the book of Romans. Let us keep him in prayer as well as he continues to immerse himself in the word to bring forth the word for us as disciples to build us up and help us to carry out Matthew 28:19-20. He needs our prayers as well.
Amen. Amen. If there's no one else to be added, we will move to the scripture. Dr.
Amen. Thank you again, Deacon Connor. Again, happy birthday. Happy birthday to you. If the mail does not interrupt, you're going to see some cards and you're going to see some, I know they already posted, the girls have and everybody, but hey, look, we want you to know we haven't forgotten about you, young man. And so just want you to know from the line, from the ministry partnership and all of us, we want to wish you a happy birthday, thanking you for being the man of integrity that you are, the man of God that you are, and how all of us, if you were a part of Macedonia, Warner Robins, Bibb, even all the way from Atlanta all the way down to Alabama, you have been touched by Deacon Connor and all over the world because he's a well master as well as certainly he is a man of God. So we want to wish him a happy birthday again. And as I say, you just watch out for your mailbox, sir. We want you to know we want to bless you for your love and for your kindness as well. So, again, happy birthday to you. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Deacon Connor. Amen.
Thank you, Sister Jessie. Thank you so much.
Amen. We just thank God for Deacon Connor. Amen. The scripture I want to read tonight, but I want to give some words of encouragement before I read it, and that is each of the testimonies that we heard on tonight. And thank you again, Pastor Albert, for reading that scripture for us concerning the testimonies. I want us to remember we as disciples of Christ, God has called us to a work. He's called us to a work for us to intercede. And we heard how God has answered intercessory prayer. We know that we stand on Isaiah 53:4-5. And I'm just thankful that I'm amongst a group of saints, as Pastor Kuiper mentioned tonight, that know how to intercede, know how to pray, but also know how to put the feet to the pavement, put the hand to the telephone, as well as know how to drop something in the mail to encourage one another. God has called us to be the disciples, to carry out the mission that he said. He says greater works we should do. And I want us to be reminded as disciples, we have been called to carry out the assignment. You have the power, Acts 1:8. You have the Holy Ghost, as Pastor Kuiper shared on tonight. So I just want to remind us as saints and encourage each of you and thank each of you for carrying out the assignment God has placed up on your life. Our scripture tonight comes from Isaiah chapter 43. And Brother Everett, this is to encourage you as well as you, Pastor Albert. I want to encourage both of you as men tonight and others tonight. It says Isaiah 5:43 tonight. It starts with verse number 1. But now, this is what the Lord says. He who created you, Jacob, he who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name, and you are mine. I want you all to know, everyone on this line, including Deborah Singleton, I want us to know that we can walk in this. It says, verse number 2, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. Put your name there where it says you. And know this, the operative word is through. You are going to pass through waters of affliction, waters of trials, waters of tribulation. But God has made a promise. He made a promise over in Hebrews 13:5 that he would never leave us, nor will he forsake us. We have to put the word on our situation. Deborah has to put the word on her situation. So tonight, to encourage us all on the line, it says when you get there, God says, I will be with you, and I'm going to bring you through it. So tonight, be encouraged. saints of God, be encouraged that God is not going to leave you and God is not going to forsake you. Thank you again. Amen.
Thank you. I receive it. I receive it. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Sister Brenda Williams.
Yes, sir. Our Father, our Holy Father, coming tonight asking your forgiveness for many sins, thoughts, and otherwise. I come today, Lord, giving you praise, giving you glory, giving you thanks for this another day, this another night.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
I come lifting up these, your people. We come lifting up Minister Ellen Miller,
yes.
Her husband Deacon Miller.
Yes.
We come lifting up healing, Lord. We're going to go ahead and thank you in advance for the healing. We come lifting up JJ. We come lifting up that MRI.
Yes.
We come lifting up perfection on the MRI. We're going to go ahead and thank you, Lord, for the perfection that the MRI is going to show. We come lifting up Kiara Parker, Porter. Whatever Kiara's going through, Lord, be with her. Take her through. We come lifting up Carla Fry Hopkins. We lift up Angelica Lester. Take her through, Lord. Take her through. We come lifting up Ann Mack. And we do lift up our own Pastor Kiefer. We lift him up as he presents the word weekly throughout the book of Romans. So, Lord, we just go ahead and thank you in advance right now for all that you're already going to do, for all that you're already doing in our lives, for all that we have to thank you for. We can't thank you enough because you've been so good. You've been so kind. You've been so wonderful. It's impossible to say thank you for all you've already done because it's many. And we thank you for this brethren who has completed 79 years today.
Yes, Lord.
Oh,
thank
through
you.
The years. He's had a little heartache through the years. He's had a little this and a little that, but he made it through you.
Yes,
so we
Lord.
Give you all the praise and all the glory for 79 years, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
We know you're great. We know you're good. We know you're wonderful. And we can't do nothing but say thank you.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. You keep on blessing over and over and over again.
Yes, Lord.
And we are forever grateful. We don't want to appear to be ungrateful. Yeah. We don't want to be like those that denied that didn't come back to say thank you.
Yes, Lord.
So we say thank you tonight for all that you've already done for us. And for all that we continue to see you doing. We thank you for yesterday. We thank you for today. And we thank you for tomorrow. So
oh,
we
yes,
give you
yes.
all the praise. We give you all the glory. And we thank you for your darling salvation that saved our lives. We thank you that you didn't have, thank you, robbery, not to die for us. But we thank you that most of all, you didn't stay dead. We thank you that you got up with all power.
All power.
Lord, we say thank you for that blessed day. That you gave us life. And Lord, we give you all praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Amen. I want to thank everybody for being on the line tonight, all the participants all the way from our prayer by Deacon Everett Henderson, song to Susan Milton, and all our wonderful comments. Pastor Albert Malone, Janice Lucas, everyone that contributed to this glorious evening. We want to especially thank Pastor Professor Reginald Kuyper for our walk in the Word. And we are, and we are looking forward. Amen. We are looking forward to the next walk in the Word.
Amen.
Y'all be blessed. Y'all be blessed.
Yes,
we
sir.
Look forward to hearing you.
Already. Already. Thank you.
Sunday. Amen. Good night. Love y'all.
Good night.
Good night. Happy birthday.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night.
Happy birthday.
Thank you, sir.
God bless you, brother.
Amen. Thank you.